Hello, everybody. This is Frank with Iron Age. It's the 22nd of November. This will be short, but there's a lot going on. So we'll have some more in-depth stuff later on in the week. Those of you who have noticed, this is, once again, we're going to hate to say that the last president was correct, but the last president was correct in regards to the issues of NATO in Europe, more especially regarding the government of Russia and its incursion into the Ukraine. I'll throw a little couple articles up here. Once again, we always try to use the left-wing newspaper or magazine so that you can see what they're putting out, and then we parse a couple things out of there. The issue has been, and this goes to a number of issues. One, the overall degradation of the United States into a socialist mindset. Secondly, that mindset helping to serve the advancement of socialism elsewhere in the world. Third, the industrial military complex, for lack of a better term, and its profit wherever it can at whatever cost mentality. The articles out there today are telling you that, and this was a quote, they quoted it, but I'm just not seeing it. I'll leave the article here. But the quote at the top of this article, which is a hell of a game changer, not a game changer, but an eye catcher. This is from Limited Times. It's a smaller site. It says NATO, and then in quotations, was never prepared for this type of war. Is there a risk of shortage of weapons across the alliance? Okay, that was a couple of days back on the 18th. We have been hearing along the lines that we are running out of arms. Arms to send to the Ukraine, and of course, arms to defend ourselves. The only contrast at this point, I believe, is that we have turned Poland into a fortress, and that's about the extent of it. Oh, and we have American troops in Romania, which was questionable on a good day. The issue has been, and it was brought glaringly to the open under the Trump administration, is that NATO forever has been dragging its feet on paying its part in its life, and the United States has been paying the lion's share of the defense budget for the NATO alliance. NATO has been under two things. One, a presumption that Russia will never attack Europe if they stay along certain guidelines. And secondly, that, you know, the Americans are dumb enough to pay for things, let them pay for things. So they, in general, greatly underestimated Vladimir Putin, and therefore they have put themselves in the situation they're in, where if he were to have had that cold winter, if he hadn't needed that money that he just took off of the EU for the fuel for the rest of the season, if he had not needed that kind of stuff, he would have been in a much stronger situation to dictate terms of policy. The thing that you're seeing with this is, if you were to go back and had that kind of time and that amount of coffee and looked at all the policies that were made in these European countries to not pay into NATO, and then again, looked at the policies in the United States, which they are out there, that had politicians not voting to put more money into NATO or not voting to force NATO to live up to its obligations. When Trump said, hey, NATO is not paying its money, they went crazy in the news, if you recall. And he said, you know, this isn't going to work. And in fact, there's a Newsweek article. I think it's Newsweek. I'm sorry, I got allergies. Newsweek article, you know, of course, criticizing Trump. But it's the whole point is Trump's a bully. Trump's trying to make them pay more money. Well, who looks like an idiot now, right? Because, you know, the Russians are loose in the Ukraine. They are still, even though they're saying they're pushing back, they're making steady gains in the political arena. The fuel situation is going to become a problem. NATO, by its intentional disarming of itself. And that's how you got to look at it. When you hear about defund the police, NATO defunded the NATO army. They relied on the thought that the Russians were going to be afraid that we would use missiles if they would use missiles. And in the meantime, conventional ground game is falling apart. If you see the amounts of weaponry in this first article, you're not seeing a lot of stuff. You're seeing, you figure you're fighting a war, right? We got a war going on. There's more than five guys in the field. And the weaponry they're sending recently, this is from the Germans. 14 self-propelled howitzers, five missile launching systems, one air defense system, 30 anti-aircraft tanks, 13,500 rounds of 155 millimeter artillery. 13,500 rounds of artillery, you can piss that away in no time at all. Where's that German war machine that I remember from the old days, right? They had two things going on. One, at the beginning of this gold rush, the United States sort of shut Germany out. Look at the documentation. Because at that point, Biden wanted to be the, you know, he wants to be the hero. He wants to do this, that, and the other thing. The problem was he didn't count on the fact that we left so much ordnance in Afghanistan when we took a walk out of there. That ordnance, the Afghanistan ordnance, which honestly, if you talk to people in the military, a lot of heavy shit, they like to leave places because they don't like to cart it out again. It's the most wasteful, fucking dangerous system that the United States ever developed. And I think they started that sometime after, I'm going to say probably sometime after World War II, because they just didn't, they said it was impractical to transport the stuff back. And they demill it. You know, they make it where you couldn't use it as a weapon. Wrong in a lot of cases. So Germany's finally getting into the trough a little bit, but it hasn't had the chance to stimulate its arms production. What you had with the American companies, and I'm going to just guess at this, they've been doing controlled scarcity, meaning they could produce all this shit. They want to produce it at a higher price because this is not a war. This has been the problem for years with the United States not declaring war at certain times. They would be able to step in, not under the war power, but actually under a wartime situation. If you saw World War II, last real war, right? They were able to tell, even though I'm sure they still fucking rob people, a bullet's going to cost a dollar. Bullet costs a dollar all week because you get contracts to make it. These days, the U.S. military pays to design the bullet through these companies, pays for all the work going up to the bullet, and then pays ridiculous amounts for the bullet. That's why we're in the situation. If those of you who are shooters remember when there was a shortage of 223 ammunition and like 9mm ammunition, stuff like that, it was because the production for the military side was outstripping. Can you imagine you're outstripping the demand there, right? We're fighting another war. Nobody thought maybe we'd need some more bullets. But the fact of the matter is, in the United States, we don't run those kind of production facilities. Small arms that the Ukrainians are using, different caliber. All those other countries over there, Romania and all that shit, they all have that stuff. I don't know why they weren't ramped up, because everybody's trying to dump their war surplus on these guys. The Martyr, the Gepard anti-aircraft tank, that's been around since I was young. You know, so who knows how old some of this shit is, especially on the German side, because who are they allowed to fight? However, they did have the Leopard tank, which the United States would not allow them to sell to Ukraine, which Ukrainians wanted because they're more familiar with the style. It's a superior tank fighting in that area. But, you know, maybe at this point they're allowed to sell that to them. Who knows? They're allowed to give certain stuff, so they're able to write it off of their, you know, in their charity piles. But the fact of the matter is, you can see that over the last probably 30 years, I'll say before Bill, I'll say around the time of Jimmy Carter, because Carter is probably the beginning of it all. You know, they say he's an idiot, but he's definitely a socialist, which means he would have looked the other way for people coming into his administration. You gotta look where you can go. I mean, even before that, Lyndon Johnson had some, and of course FDR had tons of commies around. But the idea has been the military's laziness, relying on missile deterrence, which occurs after the 60s. My father was in early 60s, and they were still Berlin Brigade, that kind of stuff. You know, fight to the death for 2 days before we nuke them. we still had that idea that these Russian armor columns were going to sweep across Europe and take the place. That was their mission. So you were designed to counter that, but only for a certain amount of time, which allowed you to move the civilian population, I think, before you hit them with nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons are not on the table. This is not an area that this is going to happen. It's too strategically important to irradiate this freaking place because of the crossroads, the pipelines, and things like that. So what we have is a situation like this, where years and years, and the same thing with the United States infrastructure, all goes back to the lawmakers. You need to have, if you wanted to research, you need to research all these assholes going way back, right? So they've intentionally allowed two things, the armaments industry in the United States to become so expensive to operate that the United States could not fight a real war. Iraq and Afghanistan kind of looks like it. I'm going to say kind of looks like a war, but it is not Patton, you know, rolling across the freaking Germany trying to seize Berlin. These are still, except for Fallujah and things like that, these are still small unit, little, you know, a collection of little wars, we could say. This is not a Ukrainian trench warfare, blasting it out, running across, you know, fucking buried cities, things of that nature. Except for like the Fallujah deal, Ramadi, things like that. And even then, different type of warfare. So we've done this. We've done this to ourselves in a number of ways. The Europeans have done it to themselves through sheer greed and manipulation through socialist provocateurs. It's not a conspiracy. They're doing a job and they're doing it well. They did it better than the freedom-loving people of the world. Everybody's playing catch up. Nobody wants to admit to it, but that's the thing. So in the meantime, the guys in the military industrial complex, which we use the term not as ooh, booga booga, but it's what else are you going to explain it as, have had free reign to charge whatever they want for replacement weapons. Done a number of videos on the replacement weapons scandal, which nobody considers to be a scandal. What I consider to be a scandal, having followed the stock market of some of these companies that have brought in billions of dollars, is that the stocks have not jumped up incredibly high. And that should be, I'm not a stock person, but I would think if I got a couple of billion dollars in contracts, my stock would go up, right? Up, up, not like a bounce, up, up. So why isn't that kind of thing happening? I mean, I'd love a financial person to explain to me, like I said that to my financial person. They said, look, I knew these guys are getting a contract. I could smell it. These guys got a contract. This European country's got a contract. How come the stock is not moving up? Well, it's a long-term process. Bullshit. On the announcement of billion-dollar contracts, stock goes up. Why are the military ones not going up to a level that would be commensurate with that? Don't know. Probably just fucking the stockholder, which is what I assume it is. It's going to fuck us so they don't have to pay out dividends, or they keep it low. So with all the new money they have, they're buying back stock. After this war is over, let's see if there's a stock buyback in a lot of these defense department trough feeders, right? So a little bit different today. Thought you'd take a look at that if you want, but Donald Trump was right. You know, I'm not just getting on the Trump bandwagon. You know, this is going way back. People hate, you know, those of you who are hating him for whatever reason, he exposed a glaring weakness in international policy with his criticism of NATO. We are now stuck paying the bill for that. And also paying the bill for Joe Biden's, what does he want, $40 billion more, I have soup kitchens up the street. You know, I don't want to be that guy that says it, but I got soup kitchens. Look in Broward County, the people that have soup kitchens, that have food cupboards, that are trying to help people do whatever. The poor people here are much poorer than in a way than some of the other people. It's just how it is. I guess it's because it's the third world. You know, they're living in whatever. But the fact of the matter is, once you see television and everybody's offering you credit cards, they know it's the end because they know that you'll go to the fucking wall having to consume things, and everybody's like Lowe's and all these guys with their own credit cards. they know you're not paying it back. The APRs, look at the APRs on, you know, they're like 20, I think they're 25%, something like that, some of them. Argue with me. I like it when that happens. I already had that all for like 3 days now. I'm trying to prove a point and somebody's going to argue the APR number. But we are being bankrupted, short-term bankrupted by idiocy, by things like this. Why is Zelensky being brought to the table? If he would just push back to where they were, I mean, I hate to say that the whatever it is, Dobrotska, all those areas that the Russians have occupied for a number of years that are ethnically Russian, suck it up. We can't afford to sponsor your war anymore. Everybody around the world thinks the United States is an endless pocketbook. You know, China's been smart. They don't give anybody anything, right? Russia, we now know how weak they are. The reason they're weak here is because the minute they started this, I bet everybody ran to the Chinese border to keep them from coming across. I guarantee you there was a strong Soviet army presence in the Chinese borderlands because they're frenemies. You know, if they thought that the Ukrainians could smash the majority of their military there, Chinese would be across the border, maybe not military style, but lots of tractor trailers full of them doing whatever they're doing, you know? So a lot to happen there. You know, the rest of you have a happy Thanksgiving if you're in the United States. If you're not in the United States, criticize our murder of the Indians. And that's going to be about it. I'll see you in, get the rest of the week and then out for a week or two. And then we'll talk about something else next time. See you later.